Oh, man, it's good to see you. I love you guys. I missed you so much. All right, I'm getting myself situated. Sorry, excuse me. Oh, man, what an incredible time I had. It's good to be with you, man. There's nothing like being with family, though, you know? I love you guys so much, and you guys are near and dear to my heart. And, man, it was quite an incredible journey. I was able to take a long trip to India, for those of you who don't know, with my friend and brother, Reg, here. And he took care of me. He got me there, and he got me back safe and sound. So it's all due to him. Yeah, he he took care of me in more ways than I can even begin to explain to you. So I'm very grateful to you very much. But it was absolutely a life-enriching time. The Lord did so much within me in my time there. And I was just I simply went there to be a vessel for the Lord. And we sang about it just a few minutes ago in that song, Thank You, Jesus. Thank you that you set me free. You set me apart. I'm now a vessel wholly devoted to you. And I want to share with you just a brief trip of my journey and the things that God was doing in India. And then just kind of show you, just share with you one of the things that God taught me, or two things that God taught me as we come around the table of communion this morning. This is India, right? This is a map of India, and I put in here is wonderfully in over my head, and that's kind of like the theme that I had going in. I had no idea what to expect. I was completely caught off guard. I had no idea where I was going. I didn't even realize that the itinerary of what Sam was going to be having me do until like a couple days prior, and I saw the itinerary, and my jaw just dropped, and I was like, oh, "You've got to be kidding! I can't do that. I'm not wired to do that stuff." But I had absolutely no idea what to expect. I said to the Lord, God, I don't want my, when the offer was made to go to India, part of me is like, no, I don't know. And I'm a little fearful. I can't, how do I relate to these people? How am I going to be able to communicate? Will what I have to say even resonate with them? So on and so forth. And so many things just kind of pile in your head and fear starts to creep up. And I just remember something the Lord told me a long time ago that he said, if you allow fear to dictate your life, then you'll never see what my faith has to show you. That if we allow fear to run our lives, we'll never see what faith. See, fear intends to hide what faith wants to show us. And faith allows us to see what fear intends to hide. And it's trying to hide something for you. But when you step out in faith and you say, God, you know what? I'm just walking in to the fear. In my faith and trust in you, God does amazing things. And so I was wonderfully in over my head. But it was incredible. It was an incredible experience because that's where God, his grace, just upholds you. Amen? So here's Sam. Sam says hi, first and foremost. We had a blast. I was able to see Sam in full form. He heads 150 churches. He oversees 150 churches and over 137 pastors. So some of those pastors have multiple churches. And so he's the top man. His father led this movement before him. Many of you know Brother Parashotham, and his father died, and all the elders and all the senior pastors said, we believe that you are the anointed man for this hour, that you're to carry this on in this next time and day and age. And he rises to the occasion. You know, we see a very quiet and shy Sam here at times, but when he's there, number one, he takes his responsibility very seriously. And he recognizes that it's a heavy mantle that he carries, but it's a light mantle because the Lord is his the one who leads him and guides him. And he is hysterical. I don't know if you know this. Everywhere we went, people were rolling, belly laughing when he's talking. It was just incredible to watch. He's absolutely an incredible leader. And you see people, what amazed me is he's the type of man who earned the respect of people in their 60s and 70s. Or senior pastors, and he was just a little, you know, ankle biter for a long time in their eyes, and they respect him and they honor him and they see him as the man for the hour, and it's really, really good to see. It's really cool to see that he's stepping into that role. This is his little girl. She is a doll face. I only met her for about 10 minutes. I only met his wife for 10 minutes. She broke her leg. She slipped on some water and broke her leg, and so her leg fractured in two spots. And we were traveling the whole time, so we didn't get to see each other. I can't remember his daughter's name, but she adores her papa. And she just loves him so much, and she's all over him. And when we left, she was heartbroken. So Sam said, make sure you tell Cornerstone how much I love them and how much I thank them. You may not know this, but I also was sent there with $2,000 from Cornerstone, and that money was raised to send out to them. It was brought $2,000 cash to them, and that money went to purchase land for another church. And they're just planting churches over and over and over again. And so he wanted me to let you know. He wanted to say thank you so very much. And everywhere we went, everywhere we traveled, he was the one to introduce me. And every time he introduced me, he spoke so highly of you guys. He spoke so highly of this church, and it really encouraged me. And he said that in every place that we went, that Cornerstone is a huge part of what God is doing, the work that God is doing in India. And I thought that was powerful. You know, he said that to every place that we went, that Cornerstone is a huge part of what God, the work that God is doing in India. So that was really encouraging. So this is us. We began to travel. And so we went all over the place. I got four little dots here and of some of the places, Bangalore and Hyderabad and Vishnupur something and Kamaman. And not only there, but we went to so many other places. There, if I had time for the dots, we traveled to so many different towns and villages in the outskirts of those places. Some of those 4 hours away, 8 hours away. And we traveled from place to place. And the first Friday night, the first weekend I was there, it was a conference for the Bible college and the pastors. So he gathered as many pastors as would be able to come from all over India, and they would gather for a weekend conference. And this is the Bible school that Brother Purushottam ago, and it took him 15 years to build what you see there. All right, it's a very slow building process. They've only got one floor going, but this is the vision, and you can't see it, but there's two side wings as well on the side for housing and stuff. And these are the pastors in the movement. This is not all of them, obviously. This is pastors and their wives, and these are future pastors as well. And so as soon as we landed there, Sam put me to work. There was no saying hello to a few people. You had one meal, and then it was just pretty much you got to work. And it was quite an amazing experience to be a part of this pastor's conference. And I took that opportunity to encourage them, for one, and to relate to them, you know, and to really challenge them. And I challenged them to go further in their faith and in what Christ has called them to do on this time. But it was three sessions. It was a weekend conference, and it was such an honor to be a part of this conference and to impart into some people. And there was an ordination on the Saturday morning that we got to be a part of, and they asked me to be part of it and anoint their heads with oil and lay hands on these pastors and their wives as they're about to take a step of becoming pastors. And then there was about, you know, there was a handful of future pastors in the front area here, and they don't get to sit in the seats. They're on the floor here. They haven't earned the right to sit in the seats. They're Bible college students, and so it was just such an honor to be able to speak into their lives and say, God, you're future pastors. That God is sowing something in your life right now. Grab a hold of it and cultivate it and tend the flame that God has put in it, fire in your heart. And so it was an absolutely incredible experience. They honored me and they showed me hospitality and generosity like I've never seen before. And you feel, you know, you feel uncomfortable receiving it. You know, it's just, they honored you, and Reg too, man. They just honored us so much. It's like, man, we don't deserve this. We're just people, you know what I mean? But there was something about it. You just see the heart of God in all these people. And that was their desire. They had a big smile on their face, and they were full of joy. And you know, I said that to them. I said, they that was one thing that stood out to me in this pastor's conference, is all these pastors, they were so joyful. They love to laugh. They love to joke around. And it was just a testimony that God is, the goodness of God has been all over their lives, you know? That they're just so free going and joyful and just love to bust jokes on each other. And they love each other. There's a brotherhood happening there. And it was rich and fun to watch. And so it was an honor to be a part of that. And like I said, this is one of the worship services. I was able to just lay hands on some of these future pastors and just impart into their lives. But man, it was such a rich experience. Their wives were there too. Their kids were there too. And so I was able to them, and we really got to spend time in the presence of God as pastors and pastors' families and children, and just say, God, thank you for such an incredible role in this earth, and thank you for calling us to such an amazing task. It is such an honor and a privilege to serve you. And so that was the Friday, the Saturday, and the Friday and the Saturday, and there was three services. And then And then came Sunday morning. It was probably the most tiresome day I've ever experienced in my life. You woke up at 7 and didn't go to bed till like midnight. And it was constant moving. And so in the itinerary, it didn't have this involved in it. It didn't have preach in 4 services and visit 6 other churches and travel, 30 minutes to each church and stuff like that. But in the beginning, we visited churches. Sam just let everybody know that they had somebody here and he had a guest here. And they're all like, oh, bring them to our church. And so I didn't preach in those, but we did a little sermonette and I prayed for them and I blessed them as they were starting their service. And then you go to another service and they waited and they were just worshiping the whole time until we got there. And I prayed for them, blessed them. And then people came up for prayer. This is the beginning of the service, and just laying hands on people. And Sam's like, okay, man, we got to go. And he's like, there's a lot of churches waiting for us. And was able to preach in 4 different services and other churches. And it was just an incredibly powerful and enriching day. I was able to lay hands on and pray for over 300 people in one day. And it was just so amazing to watch what God was doing in their lives. These people were so hungry for the Word of God. They're so hungry and they're so thirsty and they're pursuing righteousness. And you just see it in the way they worship. You see it in how early they came to church. You see it in how long they stayed till we got there and were able to pray with them and bless them. It was just, there was an urgency for the presence of God that was so refreshing and exciting. It just fills your tank. You're like, man, these people love Jesus and they're eager to be in His presence and to worship Him. And it was so incredible to watch, to see that. And one of the things I noticed is they treasured their time together. They absolutely treasured being together on a Sunday morning. And they made a point to be there. And they loved being with one another. They loved worshiping with one another. There was just this vibrancy about gathering together as the people of God and meeting together and worshiping their King together. It was so amazing. And so I preached in those 4 services. And then we drove out to other churches. And we went to some village churches. And what I really enjoyed about that was that I was able to pray over people's land. So this is like Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, or Sunday and Monday, and we traveled to just a whole bunch of other churches. Did an evening session in that Monday night, but during the day we just traveled to different village churches and blessed their buildings and prayed for the pastors and their wives and their kids, and then you just move on out to the next one. And they fed you at every place, man. Fed you every place, and I love, and they stand over you and watch you eat, and your stomach's just like, I can't put another bite in my mouth, but it was just them showing their love, and they're just happy to have you in their space and to honor them. And so we're able to pray for land next to their building and just prayer walk all over their land. Like, God, would you provide the resources so they could expand? Because so many of them are in these buildings, but they're busting at the seams. There's people in the hallways. There's people on the roof. And the people need, because, you think of a village. I don't know about you, but when I first thought of a village, I thought of very people scarcely scattered around. But villages have thousands of people in them. These have thousands of people in these villages, and they come from all over to these services, and they come from each corner, and it's just amazing to see their urgency and their passion for the Lord. And then there was that Monday evening service, and just got to lay hands on more people and minister to the blind, and I had the opportunity to minister to blind people and pray for blind people and lame people. And man, I think I prayed for, I don't know how many people I prayed for to have children, but if I go back there in a year, if our prayers are powerful and effective, man, we may have just increased the population of India by 0.5%, because there were people who couldn't have babies. And they're like, would you pray for us to have children, And so it was a tremendous, tremendous experience. And Tuesday and Wednesday, Sam was gracious to let me have 2 days off. It was just nonstop going since the moment I landed, and so we got to see some places, and he took me to see some places in Hyderabad and some old temples, and this temple on the far right hand corner was massive. It stretched for maybe a mile, square mile, but it was a temple of somebody's, and now it's a shopping center, and it was just incredible. So I was grateful for some time to rest, and then came last weekend at Friday and Saturday. How do you pronounce that? There you go. There you go. And this was a truly enriching experience for my life. And I discovered a lot about India and how the gospel got to India, and it came through Thomas. In the Bible, we call him Doubting Thomas, which I think is an unfair word name to give to that man. The man just wanted to see proof that God is who he was. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just want to see. I want to see. You know, remember Thomas? He's like, unless I see the nails in your hands and in your feet, I'm not going to believe, you know? God, I want to see you demonstrate who you are in my life. I want to see it with my very own eyes. There's nothing wrong with that. But he gets that name, Doubting Thomas. But I discovered that he was sent to India with Bartholomew. And so it was Thomas and Bartholomew were assigned to India about 10 years after the resurrection of Christ. And Thomas was reluctant at first. He didn't want to go on this journey. He didn't want to go to India. But the Lord appeared to him in a vision at one night. And he said to them this. He said, "Fear not, Thomas. Go away to India and proclaim the word, for my grace shall be with you." Simple as that. He's sleeping. He's reluctant. He doesn't want to go to India. He's just like, no, God. And Jesus appears to him in a dream and says, "Fear not, Thomas. Go away to India and proclaim my word, for my grace shall be with you." And it says there, and the story goes that he was still reluctant and he was still kind of stubborn about going, and then God kind of forced his hand a little bit, and the circumstances are a little bit funny, but he kind of forced him into India, the way the story goes. It was really, really fun to watch. But if God is calling you to do something, and if God says, "This is what I've called you to," do not hold back. Just go in faith, amen, because his grace goes with you. And so I discovered this legacy that was left in India, because one man chose to surrender his life to the Lord, and Thomas, and the disciple of Jesus, Thomas. And because he chose to surrender his life, the nation of Israel was touched by the grace of God and the love of God. And he left a legacy not of recognition of himself and stature of himself, but he left a legacy of Jesus Christ. And I was able to see this kind of passed on through generations. And this weekend at Vishakhapatnam. And that was their church that you saw before. And let me just show you something. There was about 400 people. You can't see that. They could fit about 200 people in here, but the whole roof was full of people. There was 200 people on the roof, and they were live streaming us. And in the hallways to the right and to the left and in the back, there was just people everywhere, and the staircases and everything, just hungry for the word of God. And they were just, they came from all over just to be a part of this. And I was able to see this legacy take place, and it was truly an enriching experience. And so these pictures that I have, here's Sam, of course, on the top here. And the man behind him is, in the white, is the older man is, he's like the senior pastor of the church movement. He was Brother Purushottam's student, and he's kind of like the senior guy now. And he was one of the guys who said, I believe that Sam, this is his time. He's the appointed man that God has anointed him to carry this movement into the next generation. And I watched him honor Sam. And that was so amazing to watch. This man who is decades and decades in ministry honor Sam in front of everybody. It was so incredible to watch. To his right is his son. And down here is his wife and their sisters. And down here are their children of those people. And so this is just a family line, a genealogy of a family that is poured out, that has been completely committed and devoted to the Lord. Each of these people have their own churches as well, but they all came together for this conference, and they came from all over the places. And it was just so incredible to see a legacy transfer down through generations. And what I found to be probably the most meaningful part of my entire trip was these boys right here. And they just represent a whole lot of young boys and girls. That's a girl next to me as well. And they just represent a whole bunch of young people. There was hundreds of young people at this conference. And they were worshiping God. And they were pouring out their hearts to the Lord in worship. And, you know, and so you see those chairs in the back? That's where the elders and the leaders and the pastors sit. And so I'm basically sitting up here, and you're watching the congregation worship. And I'm worshiping, and I have no idea what they're saying. I haven't heard a word of English for a week by then at that point. And so I'm just worshiping, and I'm watching these two young boys just replicate how I'm worshiping. They're just kind of following. They're just kind of watching me worship, and they're doing the same hand gestures and the same way. And it was just, I saw them out of the corner of my eye just watching them. I was like, wow, God, Like, wow, you know, like, and then I had the opportunity, and I made a point at the end of the conference, I wanted to pray for all the young people and just lay hands on them. And so the most meaningful part of my entire trip was to lay hands on this next generation and just sow a seed of faith in them and say, God, in your name, I ask you to pour out your spirit in their lives, and I pray that you would ignite a flame to serve you and to love you with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength forever and ever, to carry your gospel in the next generation. And I got to do that with so many young people, and they sat there and they just received the prayer. Like, they knew something was taking place. There's something was being imparted into them, and they were hungry for it. And man, that was the most meaningful moment of the entire time, is being able to just sow a seed of faith into these young people and just to say, God, use them in a mighty, mighty way in the next generation. And so that was the legacy that was handed down to there, and it was just so rich to see what one man did 10 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The church in India is thriving right now, and it's moving, and people are hungry as ever for the Word of God and for God in their lives. It was just so refreshing to see that the gospel has so much power and urgency and vibrancy so many years later. And so that was that town. That was a very, very interesting, that was awesome. This is Bangalore. This is where Reg and his family come from. And so this is Reg's home church. It was incredible to be a part of this. They have 10 services on a Sunday, and their lead pastor is involved in every single one. He doesn't take a break. They have 2 English services in the morning, and I was able to do, they have 20,000 people that come. So 2,000 new people every single service. They come in, they go out the new service, and 2,000 new people, 2,000 new people. And their pastor is just on the go. He doesn't breathe. He doesn't just take a drink. He doesn't sit down. He's just on the go. And when you see just this vibrancy in this church, and man, they are on fire for God. And it's just so wonderful to see. It's so wonderful to see that 20,000 people on a Sunday make a point to cram in and into the sides, and it was incredible, incredible time. So so overall, in 8 days of ministry, then there was like 4 days of travel, but visited and prayed for 12 churches, 2 weekend conferences, 13 messages preached, laid hands on more than 800 people. It was tremendous, and I want to share with you guys really what I've learned in this whole time, because I started out by saying, I was in way over my head, and I kept saying, like, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. What? And I was praying with the Lord, and I was just saying, God, I was having an honest prayer with the Lord, and I'm saying, God, what do I have to offer these people? They have the same Holy Spirit that I have. They have the same Spirit of Christ. They have leadership. Why? What does me coming here have to offer any of these people? What is it do I have to offer these people? And it was just an honest prayer before the Lord. And you're probably thinking, duh, Pastor, why don't you know the answer to this question? But the Holy Spirit just quickened my heart. And he said, when did this ever become about what you have to offer them? And he said this, and this was very encouraging to me. He said this, the Holy Spirit said, this is about what I have to offer them through your surrendered life. This is what I have to offer them through your surrendered life. And so there's 2 things. It really encouraged me because, number one, it freed me from trying to be somebody I'm not. Right? It just allowed me to minister just of who I am. And this is what you get. You know, this is me. I'm nothing, you know. But also, it did not negate the fact that God called me there and had a purpose for me, you know. And that there was a partnership that took place because I stepped out in faith. And I was reminded of Galatians 2:20, where it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, which I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Could someone go and get Liz, please? And we're going to, time's coming to a close, and I want to come around the table of communion. But I want to share this with you, because we sometimes read that first part and we're like, okay, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. But that second part of that verse is so essential. This life that I'm living right now, this life that you're living right now in the flesh, you don't live any other way but by faith in the Son of God. You live by faith in the Son of God. And so what I learned is that Christ living in and through me, as we're taking steps of faith in our journey, that we have to be taking steps of faith in our journey. We have to be moved and prompted by faith, Because God touches people's lives as you step out in faith. God touches lives through your surrendered life. And that's so important for us to remember, that God touches lives. As you surrender your life to God's will, he touches lives of others. And so in 2 Thessalonians, this is the other thing I learned. In 2 Thessalonians, you guys can come on up. And I don't know where Liz is, but she's coming? Okay, great. In 2 Thessalonians, I don't have it up there, but it says this in chapter 1, 10 through 12. It says, when he comes on that day, speaking of Jesus, when he returns, when he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people. Amen. When Jesus returns, he will receive glory from his holy people, and he will receive praise from all who believe. And he says, this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him. And so he says this, Paul says this, this is great. So we keep praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life that is worthy of the call. And may he give you the power, I love this, ready? Listen to this part right here. May God give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. May God give you the power to accomplish all the good things that your faith prompts you to do. And so what I want to encourage you as we're leaving here today, guys, is what is your faith? What is your faith prompting you to do? What is your faith in God prompting you to do? You see, God is moved by our action. He's moved to action through your faith. God is moved to action through your faith. He acts upon your faith being prompted. That when you're stirred up in your heart to enter into an area that is uncomfortable, enter into an area that is maybe you're like Thomas and you're just fearful. Maybe you're like me and you're like fearful to enter into that. But your faith is prompting you. It's pushing you. It's leading you there. Where is your faith prompting you? Where is it taking you? Where is it leading you? What is it prompting you to do? Because the Word of God says that he will give you power to accomplish all the good things that your faith prompts you to do. And so your faith in Christ Jesus should be leading you somewhere. And it says here in this verse, it kind of says that any step of faith you take is moving in the right direction. Because it's prompting you. It's your faith in Christ Jesus. You live, it's not no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live now in this flesh right now, in 2018, God has called us to be alive in 2018, each and every one of us, to be alive at this time. This is our hour, this is our day to carry his message of hope and grace to this world. And so this life that we live now in the flesh, we have to live by faith. Is your faith moving you somewhere? Is it taking you somewhere that's uncomfortable? Is it taking you somewhere that you never thought you would imagine yourself? And if not, you have to seriously ask yourself, why not? Why am I not allowing this faith that I have in Christ Jesus to move me in a direction? Why is it not leading me somewhere? God is moved to action through our faith. And it promises that he will give you all the power to accomplish all the good things that your faith in him is prompting you to do. That's an incredible promise. That when you step in faith, not only is he going to meet you there, but he's going to give you the power to accomplish all the good things that your faith prompts you to do. So I left these two questions up there just to leave you pondering. Could I have those who are going to distribute the tithes and offering? What is your faith prompting you to do? And the second question is, whose life is God touching through you? Whose life is God touching through your surrendered life? As you live surrendered life to him, who is God touching through your life? Because each and every one of us should be touching lives for God. With our surrendered lives, God, it's not my life, it's yours. So have your way in me. Thank you, Liz.